So the Bible uses a whole variety of different metaphors to paint a picture for us of what God is like and how we can relate to him. Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah, the bright morning star, the Lamb of God, the bread of life, the gate for the sheep that John spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And today we're going to look at Jesus saying, when he says, I am the good shepherd. And what we actually find is that the metaphors of the gate and the good shepherd are actually combined together. And they tell us something of the role and the character and the heart of Jesus. So let's read from that passage. It's in John chapter 10. The words won't be on the screen, but I'll just read them to you. John chapter 10 from verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus says, I am the gate. He is the entry point for salvation. There's no other way in. And he also says, I am the good shepherd. So he's not just our ticket to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. But when he says, I am the good shepherd, he's speaking about an ongoing journey with his sheep. So here are a few famous sheep. Can anyone tell me who this one is? Shaun the Sheep. And you see, he's of course really famous for several roles. Can anyone tell me his most famous role? What does he star in? Well, he's not really a star. He's a side player, isn't he? Stop Googling, John. Yeah. what's his most famous one? Wallace and Gromit, yeah. But have you heard of Farmageddon? That was his starring role. It was in Farmageddon. What about this sheep? What's this sheep's name? Dolly. The first ever cloned sheep and probably the most controversial sheep who has ever lived. What about this one? Does anyone know what this one's name is? Well, this one is Methuselina, the longest living sheep ever. And sheep normally live for 10 to 12 years. And Methuselina lived until she was 25 years and 11 months. And sadly, she fell off a cliff on the Isle of Lewis. So that's Methuselina. What about this one? What's this one's name? This one's actually called Shrek. Now, in 1998, Shrek went missing, presumed dead. That was until 2004, when he returned after spending 6 years hiding in caves in New Zealand. Now, usually, merino sheep in New Zealand are shorn every 12 months. And the annual fleece weight of a single sheep is 4 kilograms. So Shrek had a fleecy coat that weighed in at a whopping 27 kilograms. He wandered away from the shepherd and ended up carrying burdens he should never have carried. But when the shepherd found him again, all that burden was literally rolled off his back. And finally, we have this one. Any ideas what this one's name is? This one is you. Sorry about that, David. So, we're called to be the people of his pasture. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The question is, how far should we stretch the metaphor of being sheep? Some sheep are pretty thick. You know, some wander off the path and separate themselves from the rest of the flock. Some want to plough their own furrow without the shepherd and end up isolated. Some get caught in barbed wire or stuck on the ledge of a cliff face. Some get easily scared and become very anxious and just run off. It doesn't matter what direction you're going, they just run in whatever direction because they get scared. Some are really stubborn and push other sheep around. Some just follow the crowd and don't really think very much about what direction they're going in at all. And some keep their eyes on the shepherd and listen to his voice and follow him. Which one's you? Maybe we can be a mixture of all of these at times. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the gate. I am the entry point for salvation. There's no other way in. And Jesus says that having entered in through faith in him, that's only just the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey with the good shepherd. And he says, I will lead you and guide you and care for you all the days of your life. And in between these two statements from Jesus, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd, there's a linking verse. And that verse is John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says that he's come that we may have life and have it in all its fullness. The purpose of coming in through the gate is to find the pasture that Jesus desires for us. And that's the place where we can experience life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness is a phrase that we can kind of band about a bit without really grasping what Jesus was talking about. What is life in all its fullness? Sounds great, but what exactly is it? What does it look like in practice? It specifically relates to the pasture that Jesus has for us because he is the good shepherd. Life in all its fullness is about a journey of faith with the good shepherd. But what can we say about our Lord, the good shepherd, and our relationship with him? Well, firstly, he lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is not a hired hand. He's not just been given a job to do by God. He's not just someone carrying out a task with a measure of detachment, that whatever the outcome might be. And he's not about to give up when the enemy comes seeking to steal and kill and destroy. He deeply cares for his sheep because they belong to him, each and every one. He cares so deeply that he's willing to pay the ultimate price and lay down his life for us. And in this purpose, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, are one. God the Father doesn't send Jesus, forcing him to be nailed to a cross. But God the Son willingly lays down his life. Yes, God the Father does send Jesus, even to the death on a cross. But Jesus willingly lays down his life. In fact, Jesus says that he has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So there's no division of purpose in the Trinity. There is only one God with one purpose. And that one God looks upon the sheep of his pasture and willingly pays the ultimate price that we might come in and go out and find pasture. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says this: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And Isaiah 53 verse 6: all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, every one. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But we can now experience life in all its fullness because of what Jesus has done. So I want to read to you a fuller description of what that looks like for us. Here is life in all its fullness with the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," his Jewish listeners would immediately think of this psalm. Psalm 23 is perhaps the most read and best known scripture in the whole Bible. So this "I am" saying of Jesus is actually a direct claim to divinity. He's saying, remember Psalm 23? That's about me. I am the Lord, your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. So firstly, he lays down his life for the sheep. And secondly, he offers rest and restoration. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, in our modern day rush around society, we can have a rather strange relationship with the concept and the practice of rest. For some, rest has become actually one of the seven deadly sins. Rest? For goodness sake, get on with it. keep working. We kind of get into the workaholic approach to life. We've made a virtue out of work and busyness to the extent that we've largely neglected the necessity of rest. So the consequence is that we actually attach guilt to rest. We can't sit still because we've become slaves to busyness. You could say that many have come under the curse of busyness or the tyranny of the urgent. Get the job done now. Busyness has become like a slave driver in our experience. It comes to steal and kill and destroy. But life in all its fullness is about rest. That's why the fourth commandment specifically relates to our need for rest. If you want to experience life in all its fullness, make sure that you don't neglect rest. Sabbath rest honors God by deliberately setting aside time for Him. But it's also commanded for our own good. Rest can be a willing obedience to the command of God. But it can also be an absolute necessity because we've actually come to the point of burnout and breakdown. It's too late and we need extended rest. And at that point, it's enforced rest under doctor's orders. But I don't think that's quite what Psalm 23 had in mind when it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." It wasn't about enforced rest. For each one of us, there's the ongoing need for a rhythm of rest and replenishment. It's the way God has made us to be. We need the Good Shepherd to lead us beside quiet waters and to restore our souls. That's where we experience life in all its fullness. And as a community and as a nation, we're facing a national crisis over these coming weeks. If you experience a cough or fever, no matter how insignificant it may appear, the current government advice is to self-isolate for 7 days. So whatever these next few months hold for us, there is a place of peace and rest in the heart of the Good Shepherd for each one of us. We are the sheep of His pasture, and we look to Him in faith because He watches over and cares for each one of His flock. So as much as you're able over these coming weeks, seek to spend some time in prayer, reading Scripture, investing in that quiet place with God. Seek His face and find your peace and your rest in Him. It might be an idea not to have 24-hour news on constantly. I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else. In Psalm 62, we read these words, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He alone is my fortress. I will never be shaken. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And in Him we can find peace and rest for our souls." And finally, the Good Shepherd is faithful to the very end. Both the Scottish and UK governments have said that we're now facing a very serious health crisis. And it has shaken many people rigid with the sheer magnitude of what may lie ahead. What we do know is that we can't afford to be complacent or dismissive. In the mid-1800s, There was a very different health crisis in the city of London. In fact, there were several outbreaks in the mid-1800s of cholera. And Charles Spurgeon is one of the most famous preachers from that era. And he spent weeks and weeks visiting the dying and conducting funerals. And one morning he stood up in the pulpit, and as part of his sermon, he warned his hearers that some listening would most certainly not be in the service the following week. They would be with the Lord. Now, come on, for goodness sake, you might say. That's a bit overdramatic. But it was true in those days for those who heard Spurgeon. They were living on the edge of eternity. So how would the Good Shepherd encourage us in our own current situation? Well, we can be filled with thankfulness because of who he is, his great love for his people, the flock, the sheep of his pasture, and his utter faithfulness towards us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We need not fear any evil. Amen? Regardless of what we may face in our lives, and that includes the coronavirus, because we have a God who is bigger and greater and more powerful to save and keep his own. We have a Savior who has conquered the power of death through his cross and resurrection. So now is a time to seek God and pray, and to share the gospel with your friends and family. It's a time to speak up for those who are anxious and fearful, to tell them about the love and the care and the compassion of the Good Shepherd. And we can draw deep comfort from knowing that the Shepherd and Overseer of our souls is watching over us every moment of our lives. And we can share that faith and hope and comfort with our friends and family. Life in all its fullness can be experienced in the strangest of places. Hope can be born even in the darkest of times. And that's exactly what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, when the light of the world came. And the light of Jesus continues to push back the darkness across the nations of the world. The kingdom of God is advancing. The Good Shepherd will never take his eyes off his flock. He laid down his life for us. That's how much he loves us. And as we walk with him, we can experience life in all its fullness. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. We can find peace and rest in him. And he will be faithful to the very end, because he is an utterly faithful God. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.